1989. He was an All-American, first-team All-American. He is Tony Rice, and he joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings to talk about the legacy of his coach, Lou Holtz. Tony, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Great to have you on the program. Unfortunately, you know, solemn occasion that we're bringing you on, but we love to reminisce with you about your career as well. But obviously, first and foremost, with your coach, Lou Holtz, passing away, and he had been in ill health for a while there, but your initial thoughts when you heard about the passing of just an absolute legend?
Yeah. When I heard about it, you know, you're looking at the times that he's been down, but you can never see that he's been down, but he was a fighter, and he fought to the end and got the best of him, but you know what? You can't win them all.
Right,
and, you know,
right.
And he's done a right, you know, the right thing for all of us who have played for them or even met him. That he was a great mentor. You know, he pointed me in the right direction on and off the field. So I'm going to really miss talking with him about some of the early, you know, days and about the challenges in life. So, but life must go on.
Tony, I've had a chance to talk to you about this, but if you could kind of tell folks, like, how do you from South Carolina end up at Notre Dame playing for Lou Holtz?
I never left the state of South Carolina until I met Coach Holtz. And so amazing because we didn't have that much growing up, and my grandmother was you make the call to your grandmother to say, hey, can I do this or can I do that? Because it all starts there. And looking at the generation that I came up, and he came into the house and did a magic trick for my grandmother and sat in her chair, and no one ever sat in her chair before. And he was one of the first people to do that, and she didn't say a word, and I'm thinking, he better get out of that chair because she's going to be raising Cain. But he won her heart, and she told me that I was going to follow that little man, even though she didn't know where Indiana was located. But I did, and I remember the time that I called home just to come home because I was homesick and never left the state, like I said before. But she said, no, you made a commitment. You know, you made a commitment to Lou Holtz, which is Coach Holtz, and you made a commitment to Notre Dame. And I fulfilled the obligation because, you know, you don't stop at something that you're trying to accomplish. And what? She saw something in me, and then Coach Holtz saw something in me as well.
What was the magic trick, by the
way? I was just going to say it was a pull quarterback out of the hat.
Was it the newspaper trick? I've seen the video of the newspaper trick.
Oh, it wasn't the newspaper trick. It was he cut the rope in half.
Oh.
He cut a rope in half and put it back together. She just kept on, you know, looking at him like, wow, this guy, he walks on water. When he did that, it just won her heart. And obviously, you know, you listen to your elders growing up. But he had that certain magic as far as charisma that will win your heart and make you believe that you can do anything that's impossible.
Did he say anything specifically to you about any promises? Coaches don't usually do that, but maybe some do, about what you'll be coming to Notre Dame as a dual-threat quarterback, when you would get your opportunity. And then as you got there, was he what you thought he was going to be as a coach?
You know what? When I got there, I think he forgot about my name. Because he started calling me Ricky Foggy, was a quarterback at Minnesota.
Yes.
At the time that he left to go to Notre Dame. And Rick and I lived maybe 20 miles from each other. So once I got there, you know, he got me there. But once I got there, he kept on calling me Rick. And I just, you know, bowed down and started, you know, answering to Ricky. So when he called Tony, my junior year, that's when I said, Tony better say something because he's not talking to me. but he has those things. And finally, you know, he finally said my name right. And I spent a lot of time with him because being a quarterback at Notre Dame, it's just one of those things that I was thrown in there. And I didn't have that much time as the other quarterbacks did. So they drilled me and he may be the quarterback to think like he would if he was playing on the field, but he didn't have my athletic ability. So he drilled me and he made me the best person that I can be, that once you finish your career and go into the real world, you can handle all those things that you've been denied. You know, just try harder and harder, because if you try harder, one day it's going to come to you.
He was, as you said, Grandma told you, you're going to follow that little man. He was a little guy, but he was hard-nosed and he got in guys' faces. Were you guys generally scared of him when he was your coach?
You know what? He's no longer with us right now. I'm still scared. When I remember when I first got out and I saw him at a function and I had a beer in my hand and he came up and I was trying to hide the beer like I'm a little kid again because he put the fear in me. And I saw he was drinking, what was he drinking? That Crown Royal, because he already carried a Crown Royal bag with him on the football field with his pipe and stuff. So I knew he drank, but then I was like, I'm a grown man. He told me, you don't have to hide anything, Tony. You put your time in, your due diligence, and you can do whatever you want to do because you're a grown man now. I wanted to you know, groom you in order to be the best person you can.
I'm not saying that today's modern athlete, especially football player, doesn't listen to their coach, because a lot of them do. But there are a lot that will second guess or don't feel like they should be talked to like that. Whereas it seemed like from your time, Tony, and then before that, there was like that intimidation factor, but there was that respect factor for the coach. And when the coach said you to do something, you did it. Jump how high, run how fast. You know, one of those things, you listen to the coach. It seems like things have changed a little bit in the game.
Yeah, it has. You know, for instance, I think about it, and we think about personal life. No one marries to get a divorce.
Right.
When I got a divorce, I was afraid to talk to him because I thought in my mind I let him down. That's how much power that and how much belief that I had in him that I went to, and I was scared to tell him that because he didn't raise a loser.
Yeah.
And I was just embarrassed about it, but he sent me in the right direction. When I said that, he pointed me in the right direction on and off the field, because he could have just like wiped his hand clean and said, hey, you don't play for me anymore. Mm-hmm. But he did not. He did not. He came forward and said, listen, Tony, you need help. It started at Notre Dame. It's going to end at Notre Dame. Here's what I want you to do. And I did it. And it worked out just right. If you follow those three things, mm-hmm. It's a trust, love, and commitment, which we have on our rings. Mm-hmm. That's the value that he taught us. And we carry until this, until the end of the world, I would say, for us, because he told us, if you give me 4 years of your life, I give you 40 years of mine. And he's done that. He's done that more. Yeah. I've been out of school longer than 47 years.
Talking with Tony Rice, the quarterback of the 1988 National Championship team at Notre Dame, playing for the great coach Lou Holtz. That 88 season, What do you remember? Like, is it the Miami game, the Catholics versus Convicts? Is it the USC game? Is it the bowl game against West Virginia? Like, what are the memories from that national championship year?
You know what? I remember things back then than I can remember what happened yesterday. Because it was a point of our lives that, you know what, we had a job to do. You know, your first job is to go to class, get your education from Notre Dame. The second part is playing for the University of Notre Dame. So whatever question you ask me, I would know probably how many yards I needed to get on that play, mm-hmm. How many touchdowns I scored, how many field goals Reggie Holt kicked a win against Michigan, which was 5. So all those things you remember. But sometimes I wake up at night and I think, did I go to class? You know, I think I can go to class right now. And I'm a grown man. I'll be 59 coming up. So if you have those memories back then and it still haunts you, that means, you know, you got a good brain. And hopefully the things that he taught me on the field, it helps out. But the Catholic versus Convicts game, for instance, you know, Miami came in as number one. We was number four. And those guys had a top-notch offense and defense all around. Good game for the whole team. But for them to come to our house at Notre Dame, try to take something away from us that we earned, we weren't going to let that happen. Mm-hmm. And all the cylinders were going fast for both teams. But then, as you already know, we came out victorious.
We talk a lot of times in sports about, like, not giving the opposing team bulletin board material. So, like, what was the reaction from you guys when this game was being billed as Catholics versus Convicts?
Well, I was going to say we had more convicts than they had.
And maybe less Catholics.
I know less Catholics, because I'm a Southern Baptist.
There you go.
You were like, I don't qualify on either one of these fronts. Where do I fit in this game?
You're right. They say, hey, you're a Southern Baptist going to a Catholic institution. What are you doing? They're trying to get an education. You know, my grandmother knew exactly I need to step outside the window and look at other opportunities, and that came about.
You went there, as you said, 4 years. You talked about Lou Holtz, Coach Holtz, saying, "You give me 4 years, I'll give you 4 years, commit to me." The 4 years now, first of all, it's 5 years, basically. And you know, some players are getting waivers for a sixth or seventh year because of an injury. You know how crazy it is now, Tony. But, my gosh, the 4 years are pretty much out the window. It's one and done. It's the world of the NIL. Paying the players, getting their share, which I think they deserve, but there's really no loyalty and commitment to that program or to that coach anymore. They will leave at the drop of a hat. Is that something that bothers you as a former player, or do you think it's, you know, free enterprise, it's about time for these players?
You know what? It goes, you know, we all have our opinion about it, but my opinion, it goes like this. You don't have time to reap all the rewards that you have by going to school for 4 years. If you don't go, if you get that one and done, you don't experience that like the Notre Dame way. You know, I can sing almost all the Irish songs because of Notre Dame. And I met so many people along the way that, you know, didn't play sports, but that was a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have that opportunity to do those things. And I tell you, my freshman year, I had a lot of time because I didn't play my freshman year. To intermingle, to be with a lot of people that were not athletes. And I love it the way Notre Dame says it. We're student first and then athletes, because we do have to maintain our obligation to the university, to the Lady on the Dome.
Mm-hmm.
And for those guys that don't have the opportunity, you know, if they, even if they transfer, they're still missing out on things. You don't do that. Especially Notre Dame. You don't get that one and done. I can see people trying to come in to Notre Dame and they couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
But they have another route. Do that. Some people go to Holy Cross in order to fulfill their dreams. And it's out there for you. You just got to find a way to get it. And those guys that are missing or coming in that one and done, getting paid for 2 years, or leaving Notre Dame, you just don't get down but get opportunity to explore all the things that I was able to do.
You, they're just like everywhere across America. There are a lot of Notre Dame fans here in Memphis, I'm sure, that are listening right now.
James Gattis.
Tell folks what you are doing now, what you've been doing.
Well, I live in Miami now. I've been here for going on 7 years. I'm a broker for an insurance brokerage firm.
Mm-hmm.
Alden. So they give me opportunities, and I run across, like you said before, a lot of Notre Dame people from all over, and they say keep it in the family. When I say keep it in the family, they will, you know, return my phone call if I leave a message, and vice versa. If a Notre Dame person calls me, I will pick up the phone and call them back, because I don't want to get blackballed because we went to school, went to the same university. You mean you don't call me back? I would say the president of the United States is not that busy. You can call me back or do something. So that's what I'm doing now. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy meeting people. And I ran across so many Notre Dame loved ones that love Notre Dame. And I will continue on doing that to the end of the world.
And how much do you get back to South Bend at all?
Well, yeah, I do get back. I came back for maybe two games. I don't try to make it up there in the winter time.
That's why you're in Miami. So,
very smart.
That's right. You know, I paid my dues there. So, but I just heard that they're going to have a little gathering for Coach Holtz on the, I think as soon as on the 16th. And I think we're having a gathering. No, I think it's the 15th. They have a gathering on the 16th with some of the former players inside of the stadium. So I'm excited to see everyone, and we are going to have, you know, our stories about it, and then we embellish our stories too to make them bigger than anything else. But that's what it's all about. And he's, you know, for this to happen, it's a sad note.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring people together like this, which we should do all the time.
The thing is for you, like because I figure when you are still the last quarterback at Notre Dame to win a national championship, like I feel like you go to South Bend, like you shouldn't have to pay for anything.
They made me pay for my tickets and everything.
Forget about that.
You keep on paying, but that's okay with me. I don't ask for it that much. I just want to ask for give me a handshake and a hug.
Absolutely.
I'll be okay then. So.
I'm curious, Tony, because you said you're in Miami now. And how long you've been in Miami?
Going on 7 years
now. Okay. So do you ever run into a former Hurricane that may have played in that game versus you?
Yes, I've been to a couple of games down here, the Hurricanes.
Oh, have you?
Yeah,
they make you pay, pay for that ticket, don't they?
No,
that
ticket's for free.
So wait a minute, you're paying to go to Notre Dame, you're getting free tickets to go to Miami.
You're right, in a booth too.
So you run into these guys that you played against and you beat. What do they say? What's that conversation like?
Oh, it's like this. I look at it more like this. It's like the Wall-E Coyote and the Sheepdog. Remember those cartoons a long time ago?
Sure.
You're fighting when you're on the field, but when you're off the field, you're friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there was some, like I said, embellished stories. You know, I got some pictures that you'll be surprised to see that, hey, weren't you guys enemies? Weren't you Catholics and convicts and stuff? But it's not like that once you get older and, you know, you sit back and laugh about it and reminisce. And like I said, we all embellish our stories and, you know, my team hit harder than your team, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all fun. You know, we're grown men now, so... No, we're too old to fight. I'm too old to put on those pads again.
Let's leave this with one last question about Coach Holtz. Give me a phrase or maybe a couple sentences in a speech that he said to you guys that sticks out that you remember, other than the motto you talked about earlier, something that Coach Holtz said to you that resonates until this day.
Well, I remember what he said to me personally, what he said, I would never recruit from South Carolina again. I was like, why?
Yeah, why?
I'm from South Carolina. Because I messed up on a couple of plays. And he's like, you can't get it right. So running the option, you got to be at 45-degree angle. As you know, as some people know, running the option. So he would stop me in my mid-stride of doing something, and he would say, hey, stop right there. He would get the ruler out and say, hey, I asked for 45. I didn't ask for 44. I didn't ask for 46. I asked for 45. Give me 45. And I knew I was at 45 the whole entire time. But you sit there and listen to your elders. Hey, please him. He said, I'm doing it wrong. Try to do it better. But then the steps didn't really make a part of it because I was already fast enough. I was gone. So it's just like, okay, he's just doing that to get in my head.
Right.
And that's the right thing. That's the right thing to do because if you think you got something right and you're just like, I know I got it right, then no, let's do it again. Just to prove that I'm wrong, but he knew I was right. he was more lenient my senior year.
Yeah.
He didn't yell at me that much. But
you just want a natty. You want a natty, you're an All-American. I mean, you got to give Tony a break. You got to give Tony a break. Or what did he call you for the first couple of years? Your name was?
Ricky.
Hey, you got to give Ricky a break every once in a while. Tony,
I don't know. But go back to Coach Holtz. He says there's things, trust, love, and commitment. That will always stick with me.
That's fantastic.
He brought something to the plate that people in Woodruff still loves him, and he has not recruited from Woodruff since. So he hasn't. So when I was growing up,
well, he was. He hit it out of the park with you, my friend.
How many guys on the team, by the way, had any sort of Lou Holtz impersonation that they tried to do?
Oh, probably everybody, right?
Oh, he's like, leave Jimmy Johnson asked to me. He's like, playing against them, and we got in a fight in the tunnel for the Catholic versus convicts up in South Bend. I think Pat Terrell gives the best impression of him. He can impersonate anything, but Coach Holtz can impersonate him big time. And when he does it, I'm looking around like, where is he? Where's that little man?
Well, that's Tony, awesome. You are a big part of the lore of Notre Dame, the history of Notre Dame, national champion, All-American, Tony Rice, on the great Lou Holtz, who passed away yesterday at the age of 89. Tony, thank you for reminiscing with us. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you. Call anytime, okay?
Thank you. Man. Absolutely.